Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Welcome to Birmingham Citadel. So come to Birmingham Faro. Thank you.
Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Birmingham Citadel.
Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Hello and welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
So I have had a new purchase, which I'm very excited about, and I'm going to show you it today. This is my new purchase. It's not just any old hat. I was a bit jealous of Adrian's. Adrian's got, Ian, would you like to just put that on a second? This is Adrian's one. He got his last year, and I was a bit jealous of it, so I thought I'd get myself one. So our hats, yeah? Press the button. Ian, press the button on the front. Click it. Look at that. Click it again. Click it again. Is mine doing that yet? Is it? His one flashes in colour. I'm a bit jealous about that. My one just flashes in one colour. And his one, Yuki can turn it off now. He can play music and listen to it, but mine has got a bobble. So it's much better. Thank you for being my model this morning. Now, I'm very excited about these hats, and it's already come in very handy when we went to the school fireworks display this week, and I'm anticipating that it's going to get good use out of the hat and the torch from here on in. Now, to be fair, it's not often we're in a place where there's absolutely no light pollution and it's completely pitch dark, but just in case we are, this hat is going to save the day, or the night, as it could be. I don't know about you, but I really don't like absolute darkness. It makes me feel kind of claustrophobic. I'm not really a claustrophobic-y sort of person, but I am a bit with darkness. There's something that's really oppressive about complete darkness for me, and it makes me feel quite anxious. So I don't like my bedroom to be in pitch dark. So we have like vertical blinds, and I close them rather than closing the curtains because it's too dark with the curtains on. And the nightlight that was originally there for the girls is now there for me when I'm up in the night wandering around. Now, most of us would say that we would prefer light to darkness. With our children, we put on night lights because they are often afraid of the light. What about if you're having a nice day out and you see those dark clouds rolling towards you and you think, please don't come this way because you know that's going to ruin your day. And what about now, getting up for work and it's dark, coming home from work and it's dark. It's just really depressing, isn't it? And I guess for some, you get to a certain age where you don't like to drive in the dark. There's something about the darkness that most of us don't like. We are not at our best in the darkness. Well, this time of year, there's often a lot of talk about darkness and light with Halloween and with light festivals, with like Diwali and bonfire night, and then we have the Christmas decorations, the lights going up. It's quite a theme over these next couple of months, isn't it? So today I thought it would be good for us to hear what John has to say about darkness and light as we go into this time. It's believed that the Apostle John wrote this letter at a time when Christianity had been around for more than a generation, and it was beginning to show signs of decline. The main problem confronting the church at this time was waning commitment. Many believers were conforming to the world's standards, failing to stand up for Christ and compromising their faith. False teachers were plentiful and they were accelerating the church's downward slide away from a Christian faith. Christians were walking in the darkness. And so John writes this pastoral letter to try and get believers back on track, to reassure Christians in their faith and counter the false teaching. John writes about what it means for us to know God and walk with God. And as John describes this, he speaks of light and darkness. So we're going to look at some of the reality, some of the fundamentals that he puts here of this light and what John is talking about. And so firstly, the most fundamental thing that he says straight away is light is who God is. John speaks so straightforwardly in these verses and he gets right to the point. This is what he says. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live in the truth. John wants us to know that God is 100% light. John says there's absolutely no darkness in him. What does his light do? The five functions of his light. It gives life. It inspires. It guides. It gives hope. It reveals truth. These are the five functions, the main functions his light brings. That is what God is. That is what God does. There's no darkness in God. There's nothing bad, nothing wrong, nothing that needs to be hidden, and no amount of evil. John says that God is so full of light and so absent of darkness that if we claim we are following God and there's darkness in our lives, then we're lying and it will show itself up. Note that we're not told that God is a light, but that he is light. Light is part of his essence, as is love. God is completely, unreservedly, absolutely holy, no taint of sin. It is his plan that believers shine out his light, becoming more like Christ, who is the light of the world every day. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, you are children of light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So the first fundamental thing we need to take here is that light is who God is. And then he says, light is where fellowship is. Fellowship refers to a special relationship. So John is telling us that light is where a special relationship is found. Look at verses 6 and 7 here. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the light, we lie and we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. John is telling us that a special relationship, that fellowship with God, is not found in walking in the darkness. Sigmund Freud tells the story of a 3-year-old boy crying in a dark room of a home he was visiting one evening. Auntie, the boy cried, talk to me, I'm frightened because it's so dark. His aunt answered from the other room, what good would that do? You can't see me. That doesn't matter, replied the child. When you talk, it gets light. When you talk, it gets light. The child was not afraid of the dark, but of the absence of someone he loved. What he needed to feel secure was presence. We all need the same. Knowing presence is the ground of this basic sense of safety for all of us. God has promised his presence always as his children of light. That presence is experienced when we live in the light. Light is where fellowship with God is found. Walking in darkness is often a metaphor for living in sin. John makes that point repeatedly in his first letter. Living a life that goes counter to how God wants us to live our lives inevitably separates us from him. We don't experience the presence in the same way. Sin switches out the light in our lives because it disconnects us from the source of light. John says that we cannot live a sinful life and yet claim to have fellowship with God and experience his presence. And when we do the right things that are against, when we do the things that are against the ways of God, when we live in unholiness, unforgiveness, unkindness, ungodliness, we'll not find that special relationship with God there. A special relationship that allows us to experience those functions of light that we looked at earlier. And not only that, but the special relationship that we need with other people to keep us shining and walking in the light is found in walking in God's way, in the light. John says here in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Look, I know that the church family is not perfect because none of us are truly 100% light as God is. But we do need to connect with other people who are walking towards and in the light to stay in the light. Because that is where we find shared experiences, the encouragement, the resilience, the perseverance to walk in the light. If you want to have that fellowship with God and his people and experience those functions of light in your life, you need to walk in that life as well, light as well. That's what he's telling us. Light is where fellowship is. So light is who God is. Light is where fellowship is. And then he says light is where cleansing is. Now, one of the things about walking in the darkness is that you don't realize where you're stepping or what you're stepping in, do you? Now, one experience that I have never managed to get out of my head is when I was sitting in the garden with some friends, probably about 25 years ago. And I was just sitting, it was a summer's evening, and it was late enough that it had got dark. And I suddenly felt this cold feeling on my foot. When I quickly moved into the light to see what was happening, I realized I had sandals on, that a massive, great slug had, you see, it traumatizes me now. I've not forgotten about it. Had crawled, what does a slug do? Slid onto my foot. I'm still traumatized by this. I can remember it vividly. I can even remember the feeling on my foot. I would have never have let that happen in the light because I would have been able to see that slug coming. It goes slow enough. But I couldn't stop it. Not in the darkness because I just couldn't see it. My immediate reaction to the cold feeling was to get up and find some light to see what was happening and see the disgustingness that was revealed in this, in all its sliminess on my foot. Oh, it's horrible. And I quickly got rid of it amidst a lot of screaming and cleaned the area very hard on my foot that had been infected by the slime of this slug. Ugh. I'm reliving it. It's awful. It was the light that revealed the grossness on my foot. And I was able to clean it off because I could see where it had been and the mess that it made. And in our own spiritual living, it is the light of the relationship with God that we can find, in the light of relationship with God, that we can find cleansing from sin that has crept up on us and clear the mess that it makes in our lives. Here in verses 7 to 10. This is what John says. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all our unrighteousness. If we claim to have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. When you're in the darkness, go to Jesus, the light. When you're dirty and stained by the sin of your heart, your mind, and in your life, you go to Jesus for cleansing. I say when, because John says that if we say that we have no sin, we're lying to ourselves. And the truth is not in us. We have all sinned. And we will continue to because that's our nature. So when we do, we should confess and go to the light to find cleansing. This kind of confession is not offered to gain God's acceptance, but to remove that barrier to fellowship that our sin has put between us and him. It frees us to enjoy fellowship with him. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing to do. Verse 9 is so beautiful. What happens when we go to Jesus, the light with our sin? Well, John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a beautiful verse to know that. Jesus is faithful. If you go to him for forgiveness of your sins, he will not only forgive you, but he will make you clean, wiping away the mess and the guilt of your sins. When you go to the light and walk in the light, God looks at you and sees the light. Light is where cleansing is. And finally, light is where Jesus is. So we're going back to my hat. I'm going to put it back on again. We're at a bonfire night. Fireworks display from that the school did on Thursday. It's a great one. And we were Adrian and I were suitably embarrassing the girls by switching our lights on and off. They kept saying, will you stop doing that? Will you stop? I was like, it's helping everybody, man. Anyway, we were up on the back field where all the fireworks and the bonfire was taking place with our friends, Nikki and John and Erin and Freya, and they were waiting for Nikki's sister and niece to arrive. Nikki was trying to explain to them on the phone where we were all standing because it was so dark and they couldn't see us. So they were trying to explain, and I said, wait a minute, I'll put my light on. So I put my light on, and I'm like this. And I saw them. When I saw Emily come in, I was shouting. I was saying, Emily, look, here, walk towards me. Hear them, and waving my hands. And when she did, she went, she found me. She said, oh, it's you, Claire. I wondered who that weirdo was shining the light at me. I'll turn it off. That's it. So when Emmy focused on the light, she saw me in all my weirdness, apparently. And I was able to guide them to where they needed to be. I was able to guide them to the right place. And in our Christian living, John wants us to focus on the light because that is where Jesus is. And it's him who saves us and helps us and guides us in the right place to be. Look at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2. It says this, my dear children, he starts. What a lovely way to start. My dear children. He's not shouting at you. He's not telling you off. He cares. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. John doesn't want us to sin. He's writing this letter so that we won't. He's writing this letter so that we will focus on the light and walk in it. However, John does know that we all wrestle with the effects of sin in our lives. It's hard work not sinning, isn't it? So John says that when we mess up, we have an advocate, someone who stands for us, right beside us, with us, Jesus. He doesn't shy away from the dark realities of this world. Indeed, Jesus, in his earthly example, goes out of his way to get in or into the darkness and help people out. Look at him when he speaks to Zacchaeus, when he speaks to the woman at the well, and so many other opportunities and experiences like that. We need an advocate because God the Father is 100% light. And if we have any darkness in us, we block that fellowship with him. We need someone to help us. We need someone to advocate for us. Someone to come into our darkness to help us and support us out of it. Jesus is our advocate. He cleanses us. And he says to the Father, this one is with me. It's all right. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, is our advocate. John then tells us the primary way that Jesus helps us or advocates for us by saying he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Atonement means payment. Jesus is the payment for our sins. There's payment due for our sin. Death is the payment, and Jesus made the payment when he gave his life on the cross. Jesus paid for our sins, past, present, and future. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. We sing, he breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. That's what that's all about. John also says that Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for the whole world. Now, it's worth pointing out here that John doesn't mean everyone's sins in the world are automatically paid for. That would be what we call universalism, meaning everyone would go to heaven no matter what. The Bible does not teach that. What John means is that the forgiveness of Jesus is available for the entire world. It's available. Paul writes in Romans 10, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Forgiveness is available to all, but not automatic for all. So we need to go to Jesus. Light is where Jesus is. We need to go to the light and focus on it and let him advocate for us. So in conclusion, let's go back to where we started. God is light. He calls his followers children of light. We don't seek the darkness. We seek the light. We walk in the light and guide others who are in the darkness to the light, offering an alternative way, a better way. That is what we are about as children of light. So I say to you, step into the light. Make a decision this week to walk in the light and to live a life of godliness. This world is full of darkness. We've prayed about that this morning. But God is full of light, 100%. And so we give ourselves to him, give ourselves the light. Light is who God is. Light is where fellowship is. Light is where cleansing is. Light is where Jesus is. So we're going to just have some music playing just now. A beautiful song, gentle song that says, "Lead kindly light." And I don't think we spend a lot of time in our prayers, perhaps, just having that time where we can allow the Lord to cleanse us, to confess our sins, and just allow his light to just come into us and shine on us. And so there's the music. There's going to be one picture. I don't want you to focus on that. I want you to focus on speaking to God this morning. And as this music is beautiful words that say, "Lead kindly light," are playing, I want you just to spend this time, if you need to confess your sins, if you need to allow him to show you the places where you need to walk in light this coming week, where you've maybe not done such a great job last week. And just enjoy this time of fellowship with God, gaining that fellowship with God again, making things right. Allowing Jesus, the advocate, to stand for you and say, "It's all right, I'm with him," and to cleanse you. So just spend this time allowing the Lord to speak to you, to cleanse you, as you confess to him just now.
Thank you.
So let me pray with you. Father of light, help us to walk in your light this week. May our actions be in step with our beliefs. May we walk the talk. May we keep no dark secrets nor hide anything away, especially not in the light you now place within our hearts. Help us too to reach out in the light of love to others, to those who still walk in darkness, to those who live in the shadows of poverty and injustice, and to those who need help to see the way. Light up our life, Lord, that we may shine like stars in brilliance, in wonder, but most of all in love. Lead kindly light. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our advocate, the light of the world. Amen. Amen.